Here comes Shazari, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live. Instead of being at Fashion Furniture, where we are usually on every Thursday for 15 years, we are downtown in the Fulton Studios. This could be our first time. I don't think I've ever done a show here from the 940 ESPN Studios. So all my studio audience people, if you're driving to Fashion Furniture right now, we are not there. Fashion Furniture is closed today, but you can actually still shop there. So I want to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. Fashion Furniture's closed because the city of Fresno's doing a lot of businesses. People are closing up, but you can still shop online. And Rod and the family want to make sure you go to fashionfurnitureco.com, fashionfurnitureco.com. Check out the selections they got it going on. They're going to be closed until March 31st. So Fashion Furniture, they're our partners in crime on Thursdays. Also, the same thing tomorrow. The Zone Show will be right here downtown at the ESPN Fulton Studios. And if you are part of our studio and audience, we have a giant, it's like an aquarium here. And you can sit, we'll get some chairs, you can sit and watch us do our show. Because we have a lot of people that like to go to Fashion Furniture. But again, if you're pulling into Fashion Furniture right now, it is closed today. So we are downtown. Matt will join me in a few seconds. There's a huge accident on 99 and Belmont, so be careful. One lane partially open. It was raining, and so I didn't even think it was supposed to rain today. I didn't get that memo, but Matt Johnson now in the house. The Pag Meter again. We had to bring this show. We're not canceling.
What do you mean you didn't get the rain forecast?
I didn't think it was going to rain today. I thought it was going to rain Saturday, Sunday.
I'm checking that weather pattern every single day, every hour on the hour. I knew it was going to come because I'm looking at snow. I love snow.
Yeah, they got almost 3 feet of snow at Shaver the other night.
Oh, yeah. And China Peak is open today for, you know, limited amount of skiers. But keep tuned in to the local website, China Peak, and they'll let you know if they're going to open tomorrow. It could be an exciting weekend.
I do want to thank the Chicos because Mario Vitucci, I mean, I love this guy. He comes down. We got the pasta. And everyone here at 940 Studios, you haven't had a chance to eat yet, but we got the chicken alla panna, rigatoni in the house. But he wants to make sure everyone knows that downtown, and they also have free delivery, curbside. Yep. You can call 237-7054, and he'll take care of you on because people don't want – they want to, you know, get it to go and come home.
We still want to eat. We still want to enjoy the pleasures of dining out. Get online, get on the phone, place orders. I was in the restaurant business for 20 years, and you've always got to be prepared for that. So most establishments are set up for taking to-go orders, takeout orders. I highly suggest you do that.
Because what a week, Matt.
If you live in your house, you don't cook much.
No.
You've got to find a place to eat.
Bingo.
My house, my wife cooks spectacular.
It was a classic. I put on Facebook, so if you follow me on Facebook, I had the quarantine for the couples. Day one, they're all sweet. Hey, yeah. Everybody, we're doing great. Day two is like they canceled sports, and the wife is looking at him. Day three is, hey, I found out my wife can't cook, and she's yelling back at him. Day four, she's strangling.
I saw that.
That's
you,
us.
You sent that out.
That's us.
That's your house.
Completely. We've been laughing ever since we saw it, and everyone's calling me, go, oh, my God, that's you guys.
Yeah, I was a little taken back that my wife's club, the Bunko team, canceled Bunko the other night, and I'm thinking, oh. Gosh, I look forward to having a peaceful household.
Why did they cancel Bunko?
Is that some other? Well,
is it over 10 people?
Yeah, there's about 15, 20 that participate in this monthly Bunko celebration of dice.
You don't want authorities to come in and blow whistles and take you out.
By the way, I've joined in. They've had, you know, moments where they've invited the men to come, you know, let the other half enjoy the Bunko deal. You roll the dice, you see what you got. It's really, there's not much to that game.
So it's legalized gambling, you're saying, for the ladies.
Oh, I don't know if it's legal, but it's definitely gambling. Definitely. I think I won like 38 cents one time I was there. Yeah.
And you had no idea what you were doing.
There's no strategy. Roll the dice. It's less comprehensive than playing Yahtzee. And I don't know if people can figure that game out. But if Yahtzee's too advanced, join a Bunko club. You'll love it.
Well, you told me you were the king of the craps. And you said, Nick, I've never lost. All I know, if we go to one of the casinos and they got, I win every time. Well, we're over three. You and I, well, every time you, I you go have, with you.
Time out. The only craps dice game that you've ever played with me is at one of the local Indian casinos. Yeah. And it's not a craps game. It's a bubble with a dice in the middle of it. You press a button. I can't trust that game for nothing. And I have, by the way, in Las Vegas. I have won at that game.
Well, that's what I've been hearing. So I went up, Nick, bring your money. I will triple your money.
I never said that.
Yeah.
You are going.
Well, we've lost everything.
You're
We're
out
coming
of control.
Down the hill. We don't talk for 10 minutes.
What virus has infected you? Because you are way out of control right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
don't
we wanted to bring
up.
This show, Matt. We had a lot going on out there, even from a week, from last week to now. The world is still ending, but we move on, and this is why we want to bring our Rise show to you guys. It's just getting weirder and weirder.
I don't know what to do with myself. We're at the Palatial Palace, One Putt Broadcasting, in the actual studio. CG does his show in here. Most of the real shows do their show in here. You and I, we're on the road, but we're very happy to be at Fashion Furniture. What a great studio that Rod and the great friends at Fashion Furniture have set up. But this is a little different. This is a different vibe I'm feeling right now.
I don't even know why we have earphones on, because I can't hear a word you're saying. But have we ever done a show in 15 years in this downtown studio?
No, I've been a guest in this studio. No, maybe once or twice.
I did one show because of something happened, and I don't know why I was here. Somebody, I don't know, I had to sub for somebody back in the day.
Yeah,
but that was one time.
Yeah, back in the day when you were, you know, loved by everyone, you were invited everywhere. Now it's a little different.
Well, after last week's lambasting on
Twitter.
Yeah,
you've had a little
fart
on your Twitter account.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I got beat up on Twitter last week on some of my comments. Hey, I put myself out there, okay? But the good news is the emails I got, I'm well-loved. So there's some people that hate me. There's either you hate me or you love me. There's no in-between.
Make no mistake about it. There is an underground in the sports world that I live in, that you live in, local sports specifically, that are counting on about another 2-3 weeks of this, and we believe things will start turning in our direction so we can get back to educating the youngsters and start doing what we were intended to do. And I really, truly mean that. I think the curve, the bell curve that we're talking about with this COVID-19, this coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, is beginning to look pretty good. And I'm not going to talk in any real negatives, because this is something that everyone has to go through. It's like sports. Let's equate this to the world that we're from. Okay, you've got to be proactive. You can't be reactionary in a football game. You've got to be proactive, and you've got to plan for ideas. And the contingency plans that we're under right now are being proactive. There's nothing wrong with that. And I make that statement to everyone. There is nothing wrong with that. But at some point, when the supply chain, the global supply chains of goods and things continually break down, we're going to have to make some concerted efforts to get some normalcy back. And right now we're doing the right thing. We are absolutely trying to reshape that bell curve, if you will, to where we don't get overrun in the hospitals. That makes perfectly good sense to me, a real educated type guy. For you, it makes no sense. That's why you get some people on the other side that are a little upset. But the bottom line is, what you are saying is correct. At some point in the near future, we have to make a decision as the world goes, the world economy. Is the economy going to be the thing that kills us all? Or are we going to subdue to this coronavirus, which is devastating in its own right? But in the big picture, I truly believe we have to make decisions that are going to have to come apart. In the next few weeks, we're going to have to make some decisions whether or not we just let the economy slip into a deep, deep hole, or do we continually fight our way out of this? And I believe we will. We're America, and we will rise to the top and come out of this with a great learning experience.
Well, I did a Pack Meter poll on Twitter, and I have over 1,000 votes already, and it's really, really close. And I asked, should we be quarantined now, everybody, the whole United States, shut down the world, focus on quarantine, or B, are we in panic mode? And it's 51% now. It's 51% we need to quarantine, and 48% it's a panic. We're over the top. So that tells you, I think this is a great poll, because there's a lot of people who don't want to come out and say, come on, this is an overkill. Or the other people are saying, hey, we don't want to get anyone in trouble. But honestly, you know, I still see people driving around and going to stores, and we're still communicating.
Yeah. The overwhelming, I don't even think it's disputed by anyone. Clearly, we have a problem right now. And how we view that problem is, like I said, whether you understand it or not, there's plenty of video out there that explain the curve that we're trying to suppress, which basically means one person, two person, three person, they're sick, they don't show any symptoms, they're fine. One person elderly, one person with immune systems or cancer or anything like that is more affected by this, and then that becomes one, and then the hospital gets that patient. And if it continues to go on that cycle, before you know it, in a matter of 30 days, we're overwhelmed. If we can flatten that process out by quarantining, trying to stay home as best we can, do the things that we should have already been trained in, because since the time I was a little infant, wash your hands. If you sneeze, put it into the forearm or the elbow of your arm. Don't go to work if you're sick. Don't go to school if you're sick. I think that's pretty much standard procedure. What's happening, though, is we just cannot allow our emergency services and, of course, the hospital business, which my wife is in, to get overwhelmed. And I think we're showing that we're getting that in control. So we have to stay on this course, Nick. We have to do what we've been doing. But eventually, some of the absurdity of it, for instance, I noticed the grocery stores have special hours now for senior citizens, but there's 100-plus out there all in line within a half a foot of each other in line. That can't be healthy. And I see other big-box stores that open up, and there's a line like the premiere of Star Wars. That can't be healthy. We have to use common sense and continue with this version of what you called in your poll a quarantine. That has to happen. But I think within short order, I think we're already starting to see this. We're getting ahead of this deal pretty good. I'm very proud of the way we've been handling it.
If you are in line at one of these big stores, and I've seen the lines like you talk about, and unless Paul McCartney is at the end of that line, you're an idiot, okay? Because go to another store. How about that idea?
Well, I found out in the first week, if you will, first 4 or 5 days, when I went out, you know, as my wife said, we need to go on a scavenger hunt to track down toilet paper. I figured out that there's a supply chain problem that we're dealing with right now. So no, you cannot go to any other store. You sound like how my dad talks to me. I went to other stores. I went to 9 stores in a matter of an hour driving from point to point, and there was nothing there that I needed. I've got plenty of canned foods and everything else I need in the house. My wife, fortunately, we usually like to shop once or twice a month for the, you know, big time shopping. You'll spend, you know, 6 figures and go in there and come out with, you know, a year supply of stuff. That's how she likes to do it. But she didn't think of toilet paper and hand towels, you know, the Bounty picker upper type stuff that we need to sanitize our countertops or anything else. And so we were out on a scavenger hunt. And for you to say, just go to another store. There is no other store. The other store is just like the other store, like the other store. We are starting to get a handle on this because now people are, which the stores have learned, one per customer. These people that hoarded all that stuff, God bless them. They were doing what they had to do, but now we've got a handle on this. And I can assure you, because I used to be in the retail business, I am now in the school business, the supply chain is coming together. And it's all going to work out. It's just a matter, we have to go through this process clearly to flatten out that large, I call it the bell curve. We don't want to get overwhelmed in the emergency rooms and then the hospitals.
Well, apparently I'm not the average eater, because I go to my local grocery store. Pepsi, check. Fritos, check. Chips, check. Oh. Fried chicken, check. Oh. Macaroni salad, check. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
Done.
I'm talking about specific items. You think everyone's in line to pick up macaroni salad?
Well, no, I got no problem.
A lot of them need to get hand sanitizer, toilet paper, paper products, which is out.
I don't see a problem.
Yeah. Okay. And for you.
People are panicking out there.
That's because all your paper products are in your glove box, stolen from all the variety of fast food restaurants you've been to in the last 2 years.
Well, people are chiming in. Fernie Garcia says, thank you so much, guys. We're on the air. Sir Paul Leffler is in the studio eating the chicken a la pana from the Chico's right now. So he's loving that. My favorite, by the way. Chicken a la pana. Go to the Chico. Mario Vitucci, thank you. This is how we roll. Today we're going to have the CIF commissioner,
Sir Paul Leffler is now the commissioner, too. Is there anything else he can't do at this point?
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, Jim Critchlow is going to join us to keep the world updated on what's going on. We do know college spring sports is all canceled. What's going to happen in high school? My phone is blown up with several ADs, parents, players. What's going to happen, Pac-Meter? We'll find out because I really don't know. But then there's the other question. We know Florida schools have shut the doors, and they're giving the option to parents to have your kid from kindergarten to 12th grade. If you want to stay back and redo it, more than welcome, but it's going to be at your discretion.
Yeah.
Parents don't have discretion, okay, when it comes. But we'll have to ask Paul or Jim Critchlow, if you're 19, can you come back? Or you forget about it? I don't know. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, as a student athlete, if I come back and redo my senior year, but they tell me you can come back, but you can't redo the sports, I'm out. I'm done. There's no chance of me going back.
Why wouldn't you be able to do the sports?
Well, that's what Jim Critchlow, maybe we're trying to get a handle on this. But can you imagine if you played your senior year this last football season? I coached a team. If those seniors knew that they could come back and redo it, 90% or more would all come back. But if they knew they could come back to go redo their senior year, but they can't play the sport that they just participated in, they're not coming back. We'll talk to Jim about that. He'll give a little light to that.
Why wouldn't he come back, though?
Well, do you remember? Are you that far gone that you don't remember what it was like when I used to look at you in high school and say, boy, I can't wait until graduation to get into the next chapter of my life. What? I have to go back?
But if
no
I don't
sports?
What if I'm a baseball player? Let's say I'm a pretty good, but I'm not. I got a potential to be a really good sophomore, junior, senior.
Yeah.
You take it away from me. Here's my opportunity. I'm not going to get an offer from anywhere to be on the education side. But I got a chance to maybe play football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, whatever the case may be. You're taking that away from me? I want to come back and redo it, and I don't care what it's
going to take. I didn't take that away. All I said was, it's not like we quit school in 2019. School was shut down by most everyone in America about 2 weeks ago, okay? I've been out about a week. So the football season, the basketball season, for the most part, was already done. The soccer seasons, the cross-country season was already done.
Spring sports, we're talking.
I'm talking spring sports are affected. Baseball, volleyball.
Softball,
track and field,
thank you. Golf, you can go on and on.
Thank you. They've been obviously affected by this. If you're telling me I can come back and go back to school and then participate in that spring sport, do I want to go through 4 months, 5 months of high school waiting for my spring sport if you tell me I can't play the fall sport or the winter sport? How many people would want to come back
for
that?
I think it's up to you and your family.
Yeah, but if you already played football,
thing.
If you already played football your senior year, are you going to be allowed to come back and redo your senior year of football? That's all I'm saying.
If you're not 19, I bet I'm guessing. I have no idea. Then you have an opportunity to come back. That's what I'm going to say. You took my spring time away from me. Of course, they also took spring, fall, winter away from Stan Musial and all the baseball players in World War II. And I don't think there was any lawsuits back in the day. They just
Roger Staubach, arguably the greatest quarterback of all times. Roger the Dodger. Most of you young cats out there would not know who he is. The Heisman Trophy winner from the Naval Academy. Know the man, one of the great leaders and business leaders and spiritual men on this planet. He lost his best years in Vietnam and being a part of the military service. So you're going to lose it. Now, I just said football. I'm not talking about for the poor kids. I coach track and field, too. I'd love for those individuals to have an opportunity to come back and finish out their spring sport and do it the right way. But to go back and redo your senior year of football, I don't see the benefit in that.
I think it's going to come down to, if you, let's say we're living in Florida right now. It's an individual case. Maybe you're already a 4.0 kid and high school is not going to help you. It's up to the parents. But I would guarantee there's some parents saying, if I can get little Johnny or little Stacy back for one more year, we could be more mature. We can get up to the next level. I guarantee it, honey. Let's figure that out.
Absolutely. I'm with you. That's clearly going to be the thinking. I know parents directly that wish their kids could be in high school or school for the next 30 years of their life. I mean, that's the best daycare operation going. Let's not kid ourselves. But can you redo a year that you've already done? I'm talking in the world of football, soccer, and the sports that started out the school campaign in August. Can you redo that in cross country? I would think that Jim Critchell would say probably not going to happen. But for those who missed out on an opportunity to fulfill their dreams in the spring sports, like the great, we always talk about the guys in the red jackets at the state and the Masters championships of track and field that make decisions on kids for fall starting, and they have to travel all the way back to San Diego when they trained 4 years. It's basically the Olympics for high school track athletes, and they have to go home and they never get to run. For those great student athletes who have trained for the to reach that pinnacle of sport, being a part of the California State Track and Field Championships, that apparently it doesn't look like it's going to be happening, I would be all for having them come back and give another a shot at winning a state championship or a Valley championship, whatever that might be.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, you brought up a point just now, and no one's really talking about these poor little families. I'm not saying poor, but daycare. School's out. Let's say my mom's a nurse, dad's construction, and they got to get the kids to school. All of a sudden, there's no daycare.
Well,
that's a problem.
It is a problem, and through the strength of great educational leaders. I have someone in mind right now, the superintendent of Madera Unified, Mr. Todd Lyle, has done an unbelievable job with all of his support staff, with all of the educators, the teachers, the classified staff, everybody involved in cafeteria, of continually feeding, and we're nurturing and helping in the best way we can to make sure that those students that are basically out home without those facilities of daycare, some of them, and their parents, the strain on them. What great school districts like Madera Unified are doing, and all the school districts around this valley, of taking care of those youngsters and making sure that we at least try to help the baton being handed off to just nothing. We're offering meals. We're taking care of the kids for food, because that's a big one, too. You know, a lot of the kids that you educate in this valley, in this area of the California, they're on a meal plan. They don't eat unless they come to school. So we're taking care of that at Madera Unified, Clovis Unified, Fresno Unified, all the schools down in Kern County, all the schools around the state of California and the world for that matter. We're taking care of our students. So I want to give a little shout out to Madera Unified, to Todd Lyle, and to all the great people that work in that school district to keep this as seamless as possible.
Yeah, great job, guys. And all the school districts,
yes,
take care of the kids, because you're right, they don't get to eat a lot. No question about it. The other question I have is, we're shutting everything down. You're going to have to stay in your house. But a lot of, there were so many school districts still open. So I'm just confused. Are we shutting it down? Are we we still got to keep schools going.
The term fluidity that is used a lot in business and in any walk of education, this is a fluid situation we're dealing with. Everyone had their reasons to continue to push forward, to try to keep business, not as usual, but to keep business operating. I fully get that. I'm not upset. We have no, in our lifetime, forget the N1H1 or H1N1, the swine flu virus and everything that's gone down. We have no pattern of any kind of consistency when something like this hits. So you would expect the schools to all follow suit or someone right in line? No, it takes a while. And when you're dealing with down there in Bakersfield, what they were dealing with was basically zero cases of known coronavirus. And they're thinking the best place for their kids to feed, to house, and more importantly, to educate, was to keep it open an extra week. But they eventually fell in line and realized the prudent, smart thing to do would be to shut down and really get a handle on this. But yeah, there were some real puzzling things going on where one area was doing it one way and the other area was doing it a different way. But overall, I think everybody has joined hands and joined in on this fight, this battle that we're all in together, which is most important. And you can look back, but I choose to look forward on what's happening right now, because like I said, this is not going to last that long. I can already see tendencies. I'm a very, not astute, but owning a business for all those years, I really like to track the economics and the things that drive the world, drive our country. And at some point, there's going to have to be a decision made on what part of the economics of this, the loss of what we're dealing with, unemployment and other things that are unfortunately going to be happening and already happened, as opposed to the loss of life. Economics and life, believe it or not, kind of go hand in hand, because you can't have one without the other. It's just the way we are.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions out there. And I asked that last week and got, you know, I got beat up a lot. Okay. And I like Hey, first of all, I'd like a great discussion.
Yeah.
Now, when you get nasty, when you start getting nasty and personal, you're going to be blocked on Twitter. End of story. Just like if someone calls and someone cusses and Gonzo's going to have to pull the plug, you're done on the radio. So, you know, respect. I love a great debate. You know I do, Matt.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. We both do. We debate each other all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on that.
I mean,
sometimes, though, your filter has to be as such that you realize before it's, you know, Herm Edwards, the great football coach who's now at Arizona State, the head football coach at Arizona State, good man. He's a little older than I am, but we came up through the same upbringing. He was at San Diego State when I was, as a college football player, as I was getting ready through high school and leaving off to USC. Herm Edwards just says it perfectly. You know, before you press that button to send, you know, that's going out. That think twice before you send something out. And you have a tendency to just to feel it. That's what I love about you. But you'll feel it, you'll throw it out there, and then you're going to get some feedback back. And that is good, at times healthy discussion, but sometimes your points are not well thought and educated enough to figure out that you're going to get killed on this one, kid. And you accept it, you wear it, as they say in baseball, you wear it. And I think that's what everybody that loves you likes about you. But there are people out there, shocking, that don't like yourself, they do not like me. And that's okay, but we have to be very careful when you're dealing with something that requires potential for death. That's the ultimate end game. So you've got to be a little careful.
Well, we could talk about that all day long. I mean, that's why on the poll, 50% say we need to quarantine and 50% say we're overkill. So there you go. 50% are going to like me, 50% are. But isn't that the golden rule in radio? You want people to like you. If everyone likes you, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, you can't be. Everybody cannot like
right.
you. If you are, you're not doing the business right, because that means that you've never done anything and stepped off the edge and really got yourself in the game. Teddy Roosevelt said it. I always say it to our football teams and the teams I coach. If you're not in the game, that's when I say get in the game. If you're not in the game, you're not living. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
When we come back, Jim Critchlow will join
us
first.
Of course you can. Okay. You want to tease out all you want, but let's go take a break.
Okay. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live downtown Fulton Studios. We are usually right now, The Rise Show is at Fashion Furniture, but we are on location, Matt, here at the Fulton Mall, the beautiful studios. And if you are driving to Fashion Furniture, a great studio audience, I think we could put chairs right in front of this giant window, Matt, and they can watch us. What do you think?
Well, yeah, if you want to feel like you're at the Seattle Zoo with people out behind this wall of window, that doesn't work for me.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
They can if they want.
I'm guessing with the hand sanitizer on the table, this room's been sanitized. I should have checked before I came in.
Well, or it's for you and I. Could be.
I think it is. I think Gonzo's
got a hose in the back. They're going to hose this thing down when we leave.
The way they've been looking, they're very concerned from the places that you and I come from, whether we belong in this studio.
That's why I brought them to Chico's today. Gonzo's going to be eating and say, CG's in the back, Paul, Sir Paul's. They're all eating the chicken a la panna. You came in late. You haven't had any yet.
I'm eating one meal a day. If nothing else, I'm on a mission to drop about 10 pounds before I get back on my dirt bike and start tearing things up.
At least 10.
No, I'm 220, 222, 223. I fluctuate. My playing weight was 2'8", 210. I want to get down to about 210 pounds. I'm 6'3", for those who don't know me. I can't go too much lower than this. You, on the other hand, you're 5'9", 5'8", 5'9", 290 pounds. There's a big fella right there is talking about big boys. Look at the big boy.
And he's enjoying the DeChicos as well.
Yes, he's having
chicken
it.
All upon it. Dan, I want to thank Mario Vitucci. Forget about it. Ah, Monday, go. Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
I probably should. I should sit in the main. Look at, he has all those buttons and sirens and, you know, the bat phone and everything next to his little chair. I'm not going to sit in his chair.
Coach Q, they won't let us.
Although, let him know I was surfing around on the internet on his computer keyboards and everything. So I've pretty much destroyed his screen.
They put us in the one of the other stations next door because they didn't want us to touch anything. But I said, no, we got to sit in the big room.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. Coach Q looks good right now. Coach Q, by the way.
Come on in, Coach
Q. If you ever
Q.
need any inspiration, ever, I said this last time he was with us, if you ever need inspiration, Coach Q, I think that microphone's on. Hit the top. I don't know what you have to
do. Oh, now you're a professional in here now. Hit the top button there.
Oh, yeah. He's put it up to record size. You know, it's like, Tiny Tim can sit in that chair now.
We'll get a hold of Jim Critchlow in a few seconds, but Coach Q's in the house. Coach? The world's ending. Are you okay with this whole thing? What's going on?
I'm on well water, man. You know, it's funny. If you have parents or people in your life that were around with World War II,
yes,
they're the Costco buyers and they have everything.
Yes. That's my dad.
Yeah. So my aunt.
Yeah. My dad's 82, 83 now. My mom's 79. Yeah. I talked to them on the phone exactly right. I said, I guess you could relate. World War II, and my dad said, yep, exactly what the feeling was like as a youngster growing up in America at that time.
Coach Q, I'm at my local grocery store. I got Pepsi, check. Fritos, check. Jim,
I heard you
check,
talk about that
fried
on radio.
Chicken, check. I'm set. Look at it. Everything I need is here.
Well, he told me he was at Costco. He couldn't believe. He's the first guy. This is before anybody really started getting wind of what's going on. He told me, like, there's no toilet. Costco's completely out.
He didn't believe me.
But I'm pushing my cart through the line. Everybody's looking at me, and I'm moving in, moving out, because I got everything I need. I need no water. I've got gallons and gallons of Pepsi. I've got chips, snack foods. I'm good. What's the problem? Apparently, he doesn't need toilet paper in his house. He uses the maple leaf.
I already had some before. Good.
He's got the maple tree in his backyard.
And seriously,
that's what my son asked me. He said, Dad, well, I guess could we use leaves? I go,
how about this idea?
When I lived in the Northwest, there was maple trees around our house. That was the perfect material
for
that. How
about this? If you really have to go doodle, you just jump in the shower. There you go. Hot water works better than toilet paper anyway. That's my helpful hint of the day.
That hint does not work for me because you're talking about a serious sanitation and backflow problem that we might – because, by the way, for those of you, here's a real serious now consumer hint that you probably already heard about.
Serious,
but
Coach
for
Q.
those of you, i.e. the PAG meter, who's using reused Panda Express and napkins from McDonald's that he commandeered years and years of just stockpiling, do not flush those down your toilet. You backflow our sewage system, and we're going to have back prop coming back, the likes of which you've never seen.
Coach Q,
and that
now,
is a fact.
Now he's a plumber on us. He does
that's
it all.
Everything.
That is a fact.
By the way, he tried to fix our air conditioner, our ceiling fan, and our garage door, and I had to go get professionals after he was done. I just want to let you know.
Well, what cracked me up was the crap games. You never lost a crap game.
Only when I showed up.
Until I met him. Until I met him. Let me tell you something. We were on a roll once. Nick, I'll give you this one, Coach. And we're on a fantastic roll. I just taught him the game.
Okay.
So he's and usually when you just teach somebody, as long as they don't say that dreaded number, seven,
don't
there's
say
certain
it.
Superstitions at the table. But he's not doing it. He took my lessons well, and he's killing it with the dice, killing it. I'm making more money than it's allowed. And all of a sudden I look over, and the dice are past him, and he's nowhere to be seen. He took a break during his roll.
What?
And the stick man took the dice, and everybody's like, no! And immediately the next roll was seven out, and the whole table went goofy. And he came back like 3 minutes later like, okay, well, am I still rolling? Everyone basically threw him out of the casino. That's the kind of guy PAG meter is.
Well, I tell you what, we need your levity. We need your entertainment during this time.
Yeah.
And I was kind of down when I was driving, and I heard you guys talking about all this stuff, and I started laughing. I said, heck, I'm going to go by and say hi to the fellas, and glad to see you in the studio. Again, it's entertainment during this time.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, I think about, I was out in the, in our rural communities that I've got a couple school districts I work with. The kids aren't in school. And you look at the parents, the economic piece of it, it is,
yeah,
it is pretty significant.
Yes, sir.
And so to have a little, some laughter is what we all need right now.
Yes. And you have to have a very creative mind to battle through the things. We have it really easy. We have release valves, and I've got my best friend here, Pagmeter, I can mm-hmm. talk to. Right. Some people don't have much. And the level of stress and mental anxiety and all that. But I would give you another nugget, anyone listening. I remember playing football in high school, and the hostage crisis in Iran, they had taken our hostages. It was right during that time frame. And we were running our, you know, our head coach, by the way, was a Navy SEAL, literally a Navy SEAL. And so for every penalty that we got, we had to times that by up downs or down ups, they call it now in today's day and age. We called it an up down, but down up, because I guess you start up and then you go down first. So everybody in Madera clean is a down up, coach. Well, we had to do down ups for every yard that we got in penalties. Okay. And so we're on our about, you know, 800th down up. And everyone's crying. You know how kids get, you know, why have I been done? And if anybody doesn't do it right, the coach, we got another one. You got another one. And I kept saying, this is nothing. Remember the hostages. My point is, in times like this, there's always somebody who has it worse.
Right.
There's always somebody that you can draw strength from if you just go into the deep pockets of your mind and draw strength from the people you're talking about that have nothing at all. And their kids now are at home, and they don't have money for daycare, and now they are out of work. Draw strength from the troubles that others have, and let's all, as Paul said perfectly this morning, let's all work together, and we're going to get through this, and we'll be okay. We'll come out the other side at least. Maybe next time someone makes a joke about stockpiling something for in case of a rainy day, maybe I won't laugh at them because, you know, this one caught a lot of us by surprise.
It did.
Yeah, no question. But, Coach, let me ask you a sports question before we get to Jim Critzlow. College is done, spring sports. High school, we don't know. We'll ask Jim what the latest is. Should high school, just like college, get that year back?
Well, I wouldn't, Maddie. I wouldn't be close to a school if I couldn't play.
If they tell you you can come back and do it over again, however, you already exercised your eligibility. What?
But leave it to you. Shouldn't they leave it to the family? It's their call?
Well, you know, that's, you know, I met with two superintendents yesterday, Robert Frosto and Kerman, and Dr. Paul Lopez in Mendota, places you all have been and done games, communities that love you. You have the next generation coming up, and what is unfortunate is that those kids that are playing spring sports are just going to have to miss.
Yeah.
And that's you know, there's going to be junior college options. I'm going to be listening to hear what the commissioner says about being 19. I went to college at 17, yeah. But a lot of guys were at the end of
The 18 turning 19.
19,
yeah.
Right when they were coming in.
A lot of differences between a 7-year-old and a 19-year-old, by the way. Physically speaking.
There you go. Yeah. Yes. And so I was, when you guys were talking about that, I mean, I thought, boy, I wouldn't go back to school, because I do agree that if you played football your senior year and all that, you're just really talking about the spring sports.
Yeah.
And to they're going to deal with a issue of, are you doing this for sports and not doing this for drama, doing this for everything else? That was one thing I really thought about.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So, and then I heard, so I don't know if it was you, Matt, or someone else talked about the transfer rule. Like, if you were at SC and wanted to transfer to UC Davis, you could just, as an academic, you could just transfer and wouldn't have to sit out a year. But you're playing football, a money sport, you'd have to sit out a year. And I'm surprised athletes didn't sue for that, you know, years ago. Yeah, so.
If we are truly, look, we're students first, student athletes, student first. Then how come when it comes down to doing things like students do, the athlete gets treated differently? That's been my number one complaint since I was in college, coach.
Yeah, that's and you remember how it used to be.
Yeah.
When it was that old network.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to find a place to play.
That's right.
Because they'd call each other and they wouldn't do that. But I think on the high school pack, I think you're going to deal with a space issue with schools being overcrowded. You know, how do you absorb, say it's 500 students. You're a Clovis school and you have a huge track team, huge baseball team, softball team. You just look at all the extracurricular stuff. You might have 200. You just all of a sudden are overloaded. And then parents will start to sue, well, my kid legally should be here. This is.
You're right. Think about you. God, now that's really the point. That's another. Is Jim on the line yet? If not, I don't.
Yes, Jim Critchlow, welcome. We got Coach Q as well.
Commissioner.
He's just sitting here listening to us yabble. But, Coach, Jim Critchlow, how are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you? I've been listening for a while, and the conversation is awesome.
Well, that's fantastic. We got a lot for you tonight, so I'm glad you're listening.
Well, Jim, right to that point, what's been the discussion? Pagmeter brought it to my attention just a few nights ago that they would have an issue potentially happening in the state of Florida where they were thinking about letting students come back for another year, basically. Has there been any talk like that in the California Interscholastic Federation?
No, that wasn't approached when we spoke on our last conference call last week. It may come up on April 3rd when we do our gathering again. The one thing about Florida that's different than California is Florida's legislature dictates sports. And here, the CIF, which is not part of the state legislature, is in charge of that. So it would take a state law change to probably get it in here, but it has not been brought forward at this point.
But right now, your first priority is to get the spring sports maybe back before we even talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. The governor mentioned the other night the possibility of schools not opening through the rest of this year until summer break, but that's not been dictated yet. In fact, the superintendent of schools, Mr. Thurman, today made an announcement or announcements that they're preparing for everything they can to get it done this year, and we'll have to make an announcement sometime, but in the meantime, they're working as hard as they can to hopefully get this year in.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical scenario. I'm going to pull a Tony Diodato and give you a real hypothetical. Assuming that, and this comes from the world of track and field and, of course, volleyball, let's say we come back and it is it's May. Has there been talk that in May will allow you guys to get yourselves back in shape? You've got 2 weeks and then the normal Masters track championships that lead to state or the volleyball championships that lead into a state scenario and other sports that are out there. Is there something on that you've been already discussed with on conference calls around the state that would be the potential of getting back to school, let's say April, mid to end of April to May, and then try to rapid fire the sports right back up to speed so we could have state championships?
Actually, in our discussion, Matt, when we had the conference call last week, was just kind of the opposite. Get everybody back up to speed if we could, which is a big if when you talk about swimming and track and fields. But more importantly would be the section championships than the state championship.
Yes.
If we had to move our section championships, and we do have some wiggle room in our schedule to move those a little bit later, the state would negate having their state championships so sections could get their championships in. But again, in the sports of track and swimming, it would be very, very difficult to get those kids back in shape if they're going to be out, let's say, until 1st of May, as you well know as a track coach.
Talk with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. Of course, I'm hearing, too, that maybe school will be extended. So instead of graduation, let's say June 5th, it might be the end of June, and just kind of extend the year if we can get the school year going.
Yeah, there's all kinds of options on the table, and we haven't I've been reading Sacramento and looking at KCRA news and stuff here this morning just to see what is up. And there's all kinds of options out there. So it's just kind of, it's in flux. It's day to day. We just, wake up today and see what's up and move from there. You have some communities that are never going to be affected by this. You get up in Sierra and Oakhurst possibly, they're kind of isolated. And then you get into Fresno, Clovis, it's right there. So
yeah.
It's all different.
Now, forecasting forward the worst-case scenario, we're out to August, and football season starts to get involved in this deal. What is the forecast news from your office regarding football?
Well, again, if it's hard to say, but I would think that if this goes like it has been, and apparently in China it's good for about 2 months, and then it starts tapering off, I would think by July 1st things would be tapered off. But again, it could be that if we don't get started in August, then the season gets pushed back another week or so, and we start instead of the 24th of August with football games, we don't start till the 2nd of September, much like we did 3 or 4 years ago until the state moved the football championships forward. Again, play the state tournament, play the section championships later, and if we get the state in, we get the state in. That's kind of been the direction from the state office, that the section championships are the most important.
We're talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. And, Jim, you've had a tremendous career, and I would have never guessed when we saw you at Sullivan Arena for basketball that this would be happening to the end, because your last days are, what, the end of June. This is like unbelievable program for Jim Critchlow and all the mess you guys have to put up with now with the CIF state.
Well, it is, but, you know, it's part of the job. It's something you never hope to have to deal with, but at the same time, you're here, and so you've got to just, you know, buckle up and do what you're supposed to do and try to make the right decision for everybody involved.
Well, certainly your ability to write or co-write a national bestseller on the world of high school athletics now is complete, because I think this is the final chapter. You're set now. We're ready to roll.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in that regard.
So I'm glad you guys are going to be having a meeting. So to let everyone know out there, you guys are going to have a meeting in the first part of April to figure out if the spring sports are going to still go on. So my emails won't be blowing up as much. So it's just a wait and see right now.
Correct, yes. We meet a conference call on April 3rd. Again, normally we'd be face-to-face, but because of this and the gathering size, we'll be doing that conference call. And as soon as we get a determination from that, we'll be popping it on the webpage and sending it up to you to get tweeted out to everybody.
And if it was up to Jim Critchlow, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Okay, and it's high school.
Thanks.
Yeah. Would you be in favor of, say, okay, I know we're canceling games, but come on, you can still go out there and practice.
Yeah, that one is a little difficult. But, yeah, you know, if you can go to the park and walk around with your dog or whatever, or go play golf with your buddies, and why can't you practice throwing the baseball around or hitting a bat with the ball or whatever the case may be? That is a little bit easier. The swimming and maybe some of the other sports would be a little more difficult to pull off. But I've thought, you know, that is a little bit strange. But as the schools, you do have to shut down. If that's what's said, that's what's said. And now even the travel ball people have taken it into account and aren't practicing. But probably would have allowed it just on some of those sports.
Well, Jim, we might be calling you in the 1 o'clock hour if we have more questions for you. But right now, I think that's the big one. April 3rd will be the big meeting. We'll keep us updated on that one.
We'll do it. And real quick, Coach Q was talking about the humor and stuff. I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, with all the homeschooling going on, one homeschool had two kids expelled for fighting, and another one had to fire the teacher because of drinking on the job.
Well, yeah, that was my house. I produced that video. That's what happened.
That's why maybe some aren't good at homeschooling. There you go, right there.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, keep up the good work. Keep us updated, because we really, really want to know.
Thank you, Jim.
Sure. No problem, guys.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Sean from GB3s as well, because you take gyms away, you can't practice. What are kids going to do to keep in shape? Coach Q might hang around. I know we got the Chicos here. He's dying to get that chicken all upon and the rigatoni, but maybe Coach Q will hang around for next segment, because this is what we like to do. We're in the downtown studios, Matty J. We made it big time.
We've arrived.
Even though there's nothing wrong with Fashion Furniture, they are still open. Go online, Fashion Furniture Co., fashionfurnitureco.com. You can still shop the day away. We'll be right back, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 940 ESPN. The Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Here comes Shazari, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all. Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here, usually at Fashion Furniture, and I want to thank Fashion Furniture River Park. There's nothing like it in California. They are closed, as you all know, so we are downtown in the ESPN studios of Fulton Street. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. I want to thank Coach Q, Jim Critchlow, for joining us. If you have any questions, you can always call the show. Hook up with Gonzo here at 844-940-ESPN. And if you still want to shop at Fashion Furniture, you can go online at fashionfurnitureco.com. And you can go online, Matt, and see all the beautiful, what we see every week.
I've done it plenty of times in the past. You're surfing for something. You want to see selection. Go online. I agree. Get
also,
online.
Also, Matt, I want to make sure we take care of all the great local restaurants out there. Take care of them because, you know what, it's a strange time, and we got to take care of everyone. Locals got to take care of local. I want to thank Mario Vitucci from the original DeChicos. You can call them at 237-7054. They'll have curbside, free delivery. They also have Sean Van Ness, Sean First, Kings Canyon, Clovis Avenue, but that's chicken all upon it today, and I think Gonzo even loved it as well. I know CG, Coach Q just left. I was going to give him another segment, but coaches want to go eat that famous chicken all upon in the rigatoni.
Yeah, and the white sauce is tremendous. And I red sauce, my wife keeps feeding it to me, but I'm getting at the stage where heartburn is off the charts. So I love the idea of using a rich white Alfredo or any white sauce for me is the only way I eat pasta right now.
We're going to catch up with Sean from GB3s, who they had to shut down as well. And, you know, I know Jim Critchlow said he wouldn't be in favor. He would be in favor of high school teams practicing right now. But gyms have closed down, so kids can't even go to the weight room, right? Can they go to Madera South?
No, no. And what's sad is that if I had a nickel for every phone call I've received and talked to talented young student athletes that would love to get into the weight room, they're looking to work out. Right. And I have to tell them, you know, now would not be the right time to do that, but we're working on it. Hang in there. You know, walk around the block. Obviously your social distancing, but do some working out at home. Try to figure it out because the kids want to work out. The kids are getting cooped up. They've been on this training regimen, not just the track athletes, the football players, the basketball, tennis, any sport. You know, that you get in a rhythm of exercise. And now's not the time to stop the exercise.
Well, my outlet when you got nothing to do or you want to get maybe you've had a bad day, I go to the gym. I go to GB3s and I mean I know you like to go to the local bar and have your 12 beers. I go to the gym. That's what we like to do.
That's not even
just can kidding. I'm just kidding.
Haven't disrupted this studio yet. We've done it at Fashion Furniture. Do not make me come across the table on you and make a scene. Like
I would love
before.
To see that. I don't know if you could.
The
table's pretty high.
You just made a statement that was funny. But some people believe some of your nonsense. Okay. No, that is not what I do.
Well,
I get on my dirt bike. I go riding.
Please be careful on the dirt bike. I know how you are. Okay. Just go. When you turn corners and it's a little mossy right there, stay out of it.
No, you want to gun it through the moss. Get on your rear tire and blow through it. Are you kidding me right now?
Well, I want to talk to Sean, who's the general manager of all the GB3s, and I see him all the time at the beautiful Champagne.
Long time.
Champlain.
Long time.
Yeah, and Shepherd. Sean, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, Sean, I know last night I talked to you, and you said, yeah, we got to shut it down to the end of the month. I'm devastated, and I know there's going to be a lot of people in Fresno devastated.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary situation, but it's very, you know, disappointing to a lot of people who rely on the gym every day as, you know, like you guys are saying, outlets and, you know, stress and you name it. You know, everybody has their different reasons, but, you know, there's a lot of people in there every day for their own reasons.
So Sean, a lot of
schedules have been disrupted, you know, are going to be disrupted for the next couple of weeks.
Sean, this is Matt. How many years have you been with GB3, or more importantly, in the health and fitness business?
I've been in the health business about 27 years.
Yeah.
With George, 25. So.
Wow. Good for you.
You were a little tater tot when you started, huh? You were very, very young.
I was 12 when I started. Yeah, it was a very young age.
Well, so. People want to know, how many members does all GB3s have of all combined?
You know, I don't know the exact total, because the reason why you have active membership and you have people, we allow our members to freeze their membership, you know, like a lot of people did, you know, before this thing broke out. So it's hard to say. I don't have an exact number, and I really hate to misspeak.
Probably half of Fresno.
So we got a definitely good membership base at all of our clubs. So it's, you know, it's, we got a good thing going for a lot of years now. So
what happens now at GB3s while you're off? Is it the cleaning crew come in? What do you do now for a couple weeks off?
You really can't do anything. What we did last night is we deep scrubbed and everything last night after we closed, you know, because we had until midnight. So we got power scrubbers and stuff like that, and did all of our floors, everything, and cleaned everything we could. And then basically everybody's not allowed to go anywhere. You know, we can't go there. You can't drive there. You can't do anything. It's only emergency places only is what they're telling us. So gas stations and hospitals and places like food places, grocery stores and stuff like that. So,
well, Sean, throughout America in the health and fitness business, I'm starting to see it's coming to me out through my internet. A lot of online fitness classes and all that. Are you guys planning on doing that at GB3?
You know, we there was a couple of instructors that did want to do that, but we were putting out so many fires, you know, just with our immediate members and everything else like that. It was just too quick to even get something started. There was some instructors that wanted to do that, you know, and get that done, but we didn't really know how to get that even started.
Well, the good thing is not much different than a school district or a school business. In your business, you've got a database on all of your past, present, and, as you said, active members. So it probably would be easier to reach out to everyone. There's probably restaurants and other companies that just have not kept a clean database on their customers. But you got a good grip, I would think, on able to reach out to all your members.
Yeah, we definitely could. The thing about it is, though, you know, you got it. You know, maybe 20%, 50% of our membership base does classes.
Yes.
You know? I mean, if you go in there, you got people that just want to walk on a treadmill. They just want to do their weights. You know, and then we're the only club in town that has indoor pools. So you got 5 indoor pools in town. So those pools, I mean, that's a big thing. Like in the last couple of weeks, we had so many athletic swimmers that swim, you know, for swim teams and schools and colleges that joined because their pools were shut down.
We're talking with Sean, the general manager at GB3s. There were so many people that I talk with. I was there last night and saying, are you guys, and I interview all these young people. Are you guys worried at all? No, not really. I'm just doing our own thing. I try to do my common sense and wash my hands a lot. I mean, when you put it this way, GB3s, when are you going to be opening up again? People want to know.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, this mandate is till the 31st, and so we're planning on opening as soon as it's up. We're opening April 1st is the plan. You know, but now there's stories about saying, oh, it could be longer, it could be this, could be that. No one really knows, you know, when, you know, this will all end. But as far as everybody else is concerned, they're saying it's going to end the 31st as far as being, you know, home sheltered. So if we can get out and get to work, we're going to, you know.
Well, Nick asked that question. He asked those type of questions to a lot of people. He has no idea that. And how would he ask you? So when are you opening? How would you know?
Well, I thought it was the end of the March.
Well,
of
that's
March.
The plan.
Yeah.
But every day I go home at night and I watch the news. I mean, things change daily almost. So, yeah,
Newsom said. That's what Governor Newsom said. He goes, don't be surprised if things change hourly, daily, you know, weekly. It's an ever-changing situation, and there's no way to predict or give anybody an exact answer. You know, we're just going by what everybody's watched on the news is what we're going by. You know, so
Now you've got children, right, Sean?
Yes.
Now, are they at home or not? I'm just trying to ask about, you know, this whole daycare situation. Do you have a setup for that?
No, they're doing online schooling, you know, where you're my son's very frustrated, you know, where you get an assignment and there's no teacher to help you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very frustrating. And then my other son, he has their online classes and it's the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, it's just, it's not the same, you know, it's schooling, but I mean, somehow this is going to set back, you know, all kids in school who can't do that. They're going to have to repeat grades and start over. I mean, it's going to kill summer break. It's going to set a lot of things back, you know, education wise.
Yeah. Now your business has always been very good at certain, I say daycare, but it's childcare while the parents are working out. Do those employees do they kind of segue into their private practice? And I'm sure there's a great need for those services that maybe some of those employees could piggyback onto other plans.
Maybe I don't know, you know, because like I said, if we're not allowed to leave our houses, how can we do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of them. Yeah. You're right. Talking with Sean at GB3s, you got a lot of employees who are going to be out for a while and they can't be happy. So it's a trickle down effect all the way down from the governor down, and it's going to get ugly before it gets better.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. You know, you have all these great employees and what can you do? You know, it's a very tough situation. George's, you know, he's doing everything the best he can and trying to help as many people as he can. And it's just such a tough situation for any business owner in town, any business owner worldwide, you know, statewide, countrywide. It's tough on everybody.
Well, Sean, keep up the good work and we'll keep updated throughout as long as you're out. We want to keep updated with what you hear out there.
All right. Sounds great. Well, you guys have a great day.
You got it, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Sean from GB3s. And it just trickles down, Matt. You can't work out in high school. And I feel bad for the athletes because they're like, hey, I think I got the flu before and it went away. Well, but they want to work out. They want to get back into sports. And it's just a tough time.
But remember I told you that I get phone calls from my players, student athletes all the time. I just got one just moments ago that are looking for outlets and all that. The best we can do is let them know that, you know, before there was these elaborate facilities at these high schools, and of course GB3, one of the best ever, you've got to find ways to still exercise that energy out of you, relieve the tension, the stress, so you can work out. I mean, you might see an uptick potentially in home gyms or things like that, who knows, but certainly my dad, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so we would fill our empty milk cartons with stuff, sand, and that would be our curl bar, and we would, you know, go in between two chairs and spread them apart and do our deep push-ups for real good development of the shoulders and the chest, and jump squats, and we were big into that. So I'm asking all my players and all the athletes that I come in contact with, you've got to keep yourself in shape. It's not a time to sit on the couch. If anything else, when you have stress levels going up, when you're not staying active, your immune system goes down, then you are apt to catch a cold or the flu or whatever it might be. So I would highly stress that the people listening, parents, make sure your kids and yourselves are still staying physically active, doing something to keep your level of conditioning up.
Keep them away from the video games when you think they've played too much, because kids will play all day long. Maybe the push-up comes back. It's real again. It's back in the day, we did a lot of push-ups.
Push-ups and burpees are the two greatest.
And sit-ups.
Well, sit-ups are a little overrated to a certain extent. You know, even though
leg lifts.
I told my athletic director, what do you guys need in the weight room? What's on the wish list? And I said, we need a sit-up board so I can get up there and try to melt away my abs. But
good luck,
the sit-up board is okay. But no. Burpees, down-ups, push-ups, squats on air, jump squats, all great exercises for no weights.
And I would guess in about 9 months from now, the baby boom is going to be huge with this quarantine going on, and people gaining weight is going to be going on, and that's why you got to keep active.
Well, I'm going the opposite way. There's going to be no babies coming in my household. That's a fact. And I haven't even thought about that for the last 2 years. I mean, I'm out of that game. But I'll tell you this much. I can assure you I'm going the other way.
I like it.
Losing weight.
Yes. Well, because there's no food to eat.
Well, you got to have a goal. Everyone's got to have a goal. Right now it was through our track coaches and Sky and Benny and everybody and Coach Walker and everyone, our big goal was you know, getting our kids ready for league championships, getting them ready to see who can qualify for Arcadia. We had some great throwers this year on our track team. So you got to stay competitive. And how are you going to do that? You got to find something to stay competitive to keep that athletic machine rolling.
Great point, because what happens if Jim Critchlow says, okay, April 3rd, it's on again, and you've done nothing for 2 weeks, and you're going to get mad if not playing? I wanted to ask Coach Q what's going on at Washington Union, and we're going to keep you updated with that.
Hey, you and I spent the entire opening monologue and parts of the beginning of the show talking about
it's over.
Get the year back. Yeah. We didn't ask Jim, we should probably call him back, anything about, we started to, but we really didn't delve into the hypothetical if they do say, Florida said possibly, California's a different deal. But if we did decide as a state, the governor said, kids can come back and redo that school year that was cut short, what would be the stance on athletics?
I don't think it matters. And Jim, text me if I'm wrong. I don't think it's up to Jim Critchlow in the CIF office. That would be the district or the school to say, yeah, you're eligible to come on back. And Jim just says, yeah, you're good to go.
No. The CIF, I've read the rule book. There are certain age limits. There are years of sport. You have a four-year clock running. So the moment you set foot on your high school campus, you have 4 years to play high school interscholastic sports. That's a fact.
But we never had
There's no fifth-year redshirt years. There's probably a few stipulations, medically speaking, they might have given a kid your back, but you only get four.
When parents are threatening to sue because my kid didn't get to play spring ball, there's going to be extra rules going in. Maybe we'll have to call Paul. Let's call Jim back.
Yeah, you need to call Jim back, because those are the things that I'd love to get his opinion on about redoing the baseball track season or even a whole year. What would that – was there any discussion on
that? Well, I'm going to differ with you. I don't think it has anything to do with Jim on this. If the districts say little Johnny's eligible to play here at Clovis High School, then he's going to play. Jim's just going to say, okay.
Then Jim has to rewrite the governing rule. Are you kidding me? He's the governing body of high school interscholastic sports in this state. There is a rule book that I'm hoping was written through the collaboration of school district people, but mainly through the CIF office. They would have to revisit the rule book.
844-940-ESPN is our phone number. That's a great question, and I know if Florida can do it, and he said different rules.
Different, Florida's a different setup, but yeah.
Let's take a break, and if Jim's around, I'd love to know, because I don't think it's up to him, and you're saying it is.
Well, he has to have a part in it, or at least his office has to have a part in it.
We'll find out. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Rise. We are live downtown in the Fulton Studios. It's the Pag Meter Madge Day. We'll be right back on 940. Don't go anywhere.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live here at downtown Fresno. I want to thank Fashion Furniture. They are closed today, but they are actually still open if you really look at it. You go online, Fashion Furniture Co., C-O, fashionfurnitureco.com, and check out their beautiful website. They got a great website. Rod and the family do a great job. So my wife's listening, and she wants to, I want to make sure I did it. I said it right, but we are downtown because everything is closed, and we are in the beautiful studios of Fulton Mall.
I love your wife. The fact that she listens, even when you've been out of town, she listens to me. I know that
she's worried about you.
She does, and she gives feedback on the end of the show.
Well, it's a perfect example here.
You've got a great partner in this deal. I don't know if you're fully aware of that.
Well, she's had enough of this quarantine stuff. She wants to kill me, so I just want to let you know. So if I go missing, I think we might have something there. But we're going to get Jim Critchlow back because my partner, Matt, forgets a lot of things, and he has questions afterwards, Jim, and that's why you're back on. Welcome back, Jim. How are you?
Hey, I'm still good.
So we were talking during the break, and we thought it was a big deal. So we know Florida is canceled, and the kids have an option to come back. We didn't really dig into it, and that could be an issue from kindergarten all the way to senior year. What if, let's say, school is canceled. Would that be an option? Is that your call or is that the school district's call?
school districts make the call on whether to cancel or not. The governor may shut it down, but then if he lets it go, it's individual school districts that will choose whether to stay shut or reopen.
Let me just reiterate that question, or actually rephrase that question, because my sidekick has very limited brain cells. That's not what we were talking about. My point is this. Yes, of course. Yeah, Jim Critchlow and the CIF is going to say, yeah, you can all come. No, of course that's a district and a policy through the governor and everybody else about coming back and repeating your years of school. My point is there's going to be athletics at school. Now Jim Critchlow, CIF office has to come in. Is there a provision in the rule book that would state in an emergency we would allow, instead of the 4 years to go 4 years and play, we're going to allow a fifth year basically of everyone to continue to redo athletics?
Okay, understand the question better.
Yeah,
oh, that hurt. That hurt.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Yeah, that's okay. Chalk that one up. Thank you.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, it is what it is.
It is.
There is no provision for that. The state bylaws say that there is no section way to turn it over. The state would have to change a bylaw because the state bylaw currently says, number one, you only get four seasons of sport. In this case, a kid could return. Presumably, if that was allowed, and not because he hasn't played this season of sport and get it. But again, it would take a bylaw change because some of them may also be over 19 before June 15th to start that fifth year, which eliminates them as well.
Yes. And during all of the discussion through the state office, your office, everyone around California, has that even been discussed?
No, it has not, because as I mentioned earlier, I thought I did, but may have forgotten to because I was thinking about something else. That nothing had come up about that in the Florida situation as of our meeting last week. So this has all been new and probably will be on the agenda when we speak on April 3rd.
But if you're 19 after you said June 5th, then you're out, right?
June 15th.
June 15th, yeah, you're out.
Before June
so
15th.
If you're if you turn 19 June 14th, you're still good to go for the following year if you really wanted to come back, and that is the rule.
The rule says the student who's 19 prior to June 15th will not be eligible. So if you turn on the 14th, you're ineligible. If you turn on the 16th, you're eligible.
Gotcha.
Once again, my partner's math was absolutely backwards, which is shocking. I know it's true, but anyway. Now, okay, so we've kind of figured that out. Now, that is something I would imagine, because I'm coaching a lot of athletes, Jim, and they're blowing my phone up with, Coach, what if we don't finish the track season? Will we have an opportunity to continue for this or that? And the only way that would happen is if we get back early enough to complete a potential section championship. But if they do not, there has to be, I'm sure, some discussions in your office and throughout the state of California about this idea, this notion that we might, because I'm not just talking about athletics. I'm talking about if you did not complete the state mandated necessary credits to graduate, if this thing is prolonged, it might be a lot easier on everybody if we went ahead and had a summer break and just redid the year.
Yeah, that, I'm sure that will be discussed. And I do know that right now there's the governor said that the state testing would be pushed aside if we did get back to school and would not be done. Because as you, I very vaguely remember when I was teaching that the last basically 3 weeks was nothing but tests.
Right.
And they could waive those and get back to the curriculum that was missed during this time period. And I'm sure all of that is on the table at Sacramento and will be on everybody's mind and discussing throughout the state. I'm, again, confident that when we speak on the 3rd, all of this will be part of that discussion.
Now, is there anything on your desk, more of a clerical question, Jim, transfers or things that you still are just – you're working, clearing your desk off of any work that you need to get done? I'm sure you have a lot of time on your hands to do those types of things.
Well, yes. There are still some transfers coming in. Lisa and I just finished putting together the information for our scholar athlete. We selected them and now are notifying the kids of their winners. I sent the awards information up to have the plaques made. The big thing is we normally have a banquet, but because of the edict that we have now, we're going to have to postpone that banquet. They'll still get their checks and their awards. Also working, even though I'm not involved next year, I'm also working on making sure all the schedules are accurate and posted, getting all the playoff hosts lined up for next year so that when Ryan does come in, all that work will be basically taken care of for him. And so there's still things to do. And, of course, the big one will be getting the dumpster in here and removing 20 years of trash.
Yeah, that's the other question. The new commissioner, will Ryan's office not be in Porterville?
Correct. It will not. He does not know at this particular time when we met 2 weeks ago where he will have the office, but it will not be here in Porterville. His relatives are in Hanford. I know he's looking at the Visalia Tulare area for something in the way of an office. So he'll make that decision once on board.
He'll never get a real estate deal like you got in Porterville, though. I can guarantee you that.
No, that's for darn sure.
Now, okay, let's segue into international foreign exchange students and all that. We ran into a couple stories coming out of off our coast schools and at St. Joe's and other schools that have talked to Nick about the rules of getting in foreign exchange students, number one, and then they are happen to be great athletes. And I've actually got some phone calls from some athletes from a variety of places around the country that are trying to make their way to America to play basketball and other sports. Explain how the rules work when it comes to a foreign athlete coming to America to play high school sports.
Okay, there's two methods. One is the approved programs for foreign exchange, where a student is placed in a school randomly in an approved organization like the CSET group places them. That student athlete is eligible to participate and can stay here 1 year as a foreign exchange student in the public school. If he elects to stay a second year, that student has to go to a private school. Then he has to also pay the private school funding and all that stuff. An international student is one who comes over without a full family move,
yes,
comes from Puerto Rico or France or, you know, wherever, and comes to a school. That student is not eligible the first year because they are not they didn't make a full family move and all that stuff. They can play JVs, but then they are eligible the second year if their visa is extended for them for another year. So basically, kids come over here, they stay a year, they get their visa reapproved, and then they're eligible to participate unless something can be found in the way of recruiting or direct placement or enticement of some form to get them at that school.
Yes. Now, I'm guessing, since you mentioned the difference between public and private school, the public school system is under a different directive coming from the state or the people that fund the school. Is that why it's only 1 year, but in private school you can play for 2 years?
Apparently, yes. The funding is the issue there, and it's a visa technically is here for 1 year for education.
Now, one other question in the rule book of how it's set up, and this is a coaching situation. I've read the different bylaws that have to do with this. I just didn't understand it all. If you have Coach A that is attempting to get hired by School District B, but the school district doesn't really have the type funding necessary to fulfill what your dream of your pay would be, and you decide to get one bit of payment from the district, but to offset what you thought was your going rate for your pay, and you get it from a booster group or somewhere else, is that illegal, or how does that work?
Yes, it is illegal. The state bylaws say that all compensation must come through the school district. And so anything that comes outside of that, like bonuses for winning championships and all, or even, as you mentioned, just augmenting the salary because you think you deserve more than you're getting, is illegal under the CIF bylaws.
Now, can the governing board, there was a part in the rules that talked about a governing board approving that, then it would be okay?
As long as it goes through the school district.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. A couple questions. I'm getting some emails in. But my question is, when can we get Madera South, a Division V football team, out of Division
stop.
I CMAC.
Stop. Stop. You're
okay,
done.
No. Let me answer the question, know Matt, I understand where you are, believe me. Okay, Nick, this next fall, we, CIF Central Section, will start realignment in the leagues for the 22-23, that cycle, 2 years from now. So at that point in time, committees will be put together and leagues will decide what they want to do, where they want to go. There's going to be massive changes. I can tell you that simply because with Madera now having the third school and possibly Central doing whatever they're going to do, and maybe Sanger, the CMAC and the NYL could be totally blown up from what it is today. The one caveat that is in there that makes it a little more difficult is that school districts may ask to have all their schools in the same league. And that poses a problem many times when, just use Madera since we're talking about it. They decide, hey, we want both of our teams in the same league.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then we've got to do it that way because, you know, we, whoever puts it together, the committee, then turns it back out to all the schools. They look at it and they vote on it and they're the determining factor.
Well, this, to me, would be the highest priority, to get a Division V school away from any Division I school. So, and basically what you're saying is, I got 2 years to keep sharp objects away from Matt Johnson because it's not going to get any easier. I don't get it, but that's just me, and I'll just keep harping on it. The other question, Byron.
Before I ask the other question, okay. Jim, you need to be very clear on this so when I see you in retirement, you'll understand. This guy next to me is not going to be happy until I lose my job. When everybody at my district feels like I'm being, you know, I'm co-signing everything Pagmeter thinks, I'm going to be out of work. So just letting you know that.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. Brian wants to know, you. This is your what? How many years now, Jim? 20?
19
years. He wants to know, what's Jim Critchlow's legacy going to be when you leave after June 30th? I've been on ESPN Radio since you started, really, and so we've kind of done this together. And I mean, there's been so many changes. So, what do you think? What would you like to say to the people out there that Jim Critchlow has done and all the good things?
Well, probably the unfinished thing is getting the section moved to the north completely in playoffs. Like it or not, competitive equity model that we started in 2008 that has now gone statewide. You have teams like Carruthers, Selma, schools winning championships at levels, including the state level, that they would have never won before under the previous model, where basically the private schools were in those lower divisions and dominated everything. I think that's one of the bigger, probably the two biggest ones. And then, I really hadn't thought about it, quite honestly. This retirement thing is so new. I didn't retire when I got through teaching. I moved into this job. I haven't even thought about what's going to happen on June 30th, July 1. So I hadn't even thought about a legacy. That'll be up to you guys.
Well, I was just going to say
the media and thumb.
Yeah, and we appreciate the heck out of you. And we've formed – everyone has the opinion of your office, good, bad, or indifferent. The main thing that I'd like for you to respond to, Jim, is I think there's a misconception, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but when we started this deal, Nick and I, way back when, and I started coaching in the Valley, there was quite a bit of different vibe when it came down to the kids transferring from one school to another. But I remember having a conversation with you years ago about the complex nature of when attorneys get involved and parents want to say they can take their kid wherever they want. And at some point you and people like you and probably the CIF had to make a decision based on financially trying to pay all the legal fees. That didn't happen because you felt like you needed everybody to transfer free at will. You guys, I don't think, or maybe I'm wrong, did you have much of a say in that? Or was it just came down to the pure nature of the business? We can't afford to continue to pay legal fees.
That was a big portion of it. And the state legislation, when they passed freedom of choice of schools, kind of put us in a difficult situation as well, where we had to change some of our bylaws because under state law, you know, you could pick your kid up and move them wherever. Then we had to change some things. Well, if they're going to move them, we need to have some legislation that slows up the process so that we don't get an influx of 25
yeah.
football players to one school. So, yeah, that was part of it. Legal fees was a big part. Our legal fees have dropped probably 50% statewide over the last 5 or 6 years because of some of the rules we put in place.
Talk with Jim Critzlow, and I know, Jim, that when you started and when we you pushed and pushed and pushed, like you said, to get the central section up north, and nobody really wants the central section. For years, you know, we were with the South, and when the state playoffs came around, we didn't get any love. I think you did a great job on that. Look at this year. State champs with Sanger Apaches soccer, Clovis girls soccer. We have four state playoff basketball teams that had an opportunity to win a state, but it got canceled, of course. We're now playing against everybody now, and people know who the central section is, and that's a big part of you.
Well, thank you. Again, we tried our best two different occasions to get it through, and we're extremely happy with what we produced here, and Jeff and I talk about it a lot. We had quite a few football teams, too, do extremely well. So, yeah, we're in a good place right now. Even our southern friends who joined us from the coast, Arroyo Grande and San Luis Obispo, they've been able to battle their way through some things down south where they wouldn't have before because just the preponderance of schools down there, 600 or 565 schools. So it's been a good run here the last few years for our schools.
Jim, do you ever see the Salinas area coming in our section?
No, I would think the possible next area might become the Lancaster-Newhall area, just south of Bakersfield over in the Grapevine area. They threw out some feelers a few years ago. They would be a perfect fit because of the proximity to Bakersfield. The other would be the Merced area, that league up there to come down. But I don't see that any of that in the near future.
And then someday we're going to have baseball and softball state playoffs. That'll be exciting.
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah, it is next year. Well, let me clarify. It'll be regional. I'm going to start out with the North and the South, and then because of timing, and there's something we're going to talk about in June that I'm going to bring up, even though, again, I'm not going to be here. The timing of baseball, softball going past graduations and into mid-June, I'm going to recommend that we review the number of games that our bracketed sports play, baseball, softball, basketball, soccer, drop it from 28 that is in existence now, drop it down to 24, keep football at 10, and then you pick up 2 weeks possibly of time where you can move the schedules and get baseball, softball finished at the end of the year by Memorial Weekend.
You know what I find is your greatest accomplishment from my position on this little broadcast team? It was a few years ago, albeit, but for many, many episodes, Nick Papagni would talk about Jim Critzlow as the guy that when it was time to make a statewide decision. Now, Jim, Central Section, we need you to go out. Now, the donuts are down the street. You need to go pick up the donuts. And let's get the order in first, Jim. Let's get the donut order from all the different sections. And Nick Papagni, the Pag meter would always go on this little thing about it was time for the central section to leave the room because the big boys are getting ready to talk.
And look at now.
Now look at now. You guys are like best friends, golfing partners.
Yeah, but
what is going on?
Jim gets his own recliner chair when he walks in those state meets because he knows who Jim Critzlow is.
Just let it be known for the record, Jim. I've always respected you, and I've really tried to uphold the great standards that you have set. But my partner, this is a recent revelation, but probably about 2 years ago, he started to come to your way of thinking.
Oh, no, it's 12 years ago. Jim and I are bonded.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I'm sure before. Well,
I had to give him that nugget before he officially retires.
Well, see, I think I gave a little extra giddy up to Jim. He went to the state, said, hey, we got to do something. I'm tired of these donuts. And look at now. We're hanging against anyone in the state now.
Anyone.
What was it last year? Clovis North, Buchanan won the state in track. Right,
yeah, we won the state track meet in not just boys and both.
Yeah,
that's Crazy good.
Crazy good. So we're on the map now. So if you're listening south and north, we want you. Well, Jim, thanks. I think we cleared it up, but we're going to keep you updated all the way until you leave. And we'll have you on even after when you're on the eighth hole playing wherever you're at, because there's a lot of things going on, and you're the guy to go to.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to give our side of what goes on. Sometimes it gets listened to, sometimes it doesn't, but at least we get to present it. So I thank you guys both for the opportunity.
Thanks, Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner, does a great job, and that's a tough job. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there and AD. Oh, it's now everyone's eligible. No, it's not. Like you just said, it's not an easy job.
It was inevitable.
Yeah.
That spirit of transferring was going to hit our valley.
Yeah.
And it's not like one singular individual could hold it off. It was happening statewide. So when they put down rules and they mandate this is what has to happen. What did you want the Valley to do? Not stay the course of what the rules were? There still is a sit period. Now, can we bolster this idea that are you living in the proper address? That comes down, in my opinion, to school districts and athletic directors. How far do you want to take it? There shouldn't be any law that says I can't at least check, is that residency really the person where they say they live? But that's not the CIF office. It's not for the central section to decide. That's for the school districts to decide.
Well, when our new AD or CIF comes in, Ryan Toss, we'll have to get him on. He said he'd come on after he starts as of July 1st. Wondering what's going to be the new changing. Is there going to be changing going on? What do you think? Or is it going to be, it looks like 2 years we'll have new divisional placements and all the could be have some new leagues, but I don't know.
No, he'll have his own personal agenda per se.
Yeah.
But there's a federation, and there's many, many members. So he has to kind of basically fall in line and vote yes or no to the different amendments to our CIF rules that come about.
And you and I both agree that we should be seeding teams at the end of the year.
As long as you can protect this competitive equity model, which does allow a Selma and other schools like that to win state championships. If the Selma team, for an example, is ranked 5 or 6, including the big Division I schools, then we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot to allow Selma to go play in Division I based on their great performance over the year. Then they'd have no opportunity to win the big show in football, I'm talking about.
The other one I want to see, we had Corey Fisher on last week from Memorial, that if he does, let's say the girls, because they've won every year for the last 4 years, they just keep whenever Division Memorial girls, and if they say, you know what, I do want to play Division I next year, and they have the team that maybe everyone graduate, and all of a sudden they're back to that St. Anthony's team. Hey, Mr. Commissioner, can we go back to D2?
No, I don't think that should be the way it goes down. You should at least have a couple of years. That's what you're saying is every year do you think a school's always going to –
every year to adjust league to league, because you don't have – Kingsburg's really good in basketball this year. Maybe they graduate everyone and they move up. That's not right.
I just don't think that
– I don't want to penalize the overachievers, in other words.
No, I understand that, but we still have to have at least some version of, hey, guess what? You can't win every day. You can try, but we don't recruit our players. So we get the high school class coming in. Some are good, some aren't so good. Either way, you got to deal with it, and you got to make it be the best it can be. But if you're telling me that a school like a Memorial can pick and choose what time they want to go play what division based on the talent they have coming through, I think that's a little severe. You still have to take your lumps.
Example, Hamford's girls basketball. They're not a really Division I team anymore, but they're stuck in Division I because of the success from the days.
They can petition to move down.
Well, I hope so because I don't know. The other one we know is we have a big transfer, Mr.
Stevenson?
No.
He's a big transfer going to Central, the quarterback. I like his game.
Oh, from Buchanan. Yeah. No, the basketball player from Fresno Christian. I'm drawing a blank. It's Parrish Tillman. Big fella is going to Clovis West.
He just won a title.
He's going to Clovis West.
They
beat Fowler in the Division 5 championship. And he's going to transfer, and he lives in the school district, so people don't get all excited. But he's going to be traveling to Clovis West, about a half a mile away from Fresno Christian. So.
Well, of course he is. Of course he is. Shocking. No comment.
What's that mean? Well, I want to hear your comment.
Well,
What's wrong with that?
Did I not get lambasted by somebody in particular over this idea that Even at schools like Clovis West, they have their transfers that make their team better. No, it's all done from within our school district. They're all, come on. The rich just keep getting richer, and the beat goes on. Good night, everybody.
Wait, you just said that, you know, kids want to transfer.
I'm not against it. Oh. I'm just saying I've got killed by one particular coach when I started talking about, you know, they get them when they're 8th grade, 7th grade. Kids are moving. They want to be where the action's at, where the winner's at. And let alone, here we go, I get a report that the power forward of the century is moving on to Clovis West. Yeah. Good for him.
I want to thank Sean from GB3s today, Jim Critchlow, Coach Q. Coach Q came in. You know he wanted the Chicos. Thank you to Mario. He saw the chicken all upon him, but he said, I like you guys. I want to come in and hang out with you. It was all about the food next door.
Yep, and let's make very clear so Gonzo and the crew knows, let's sanitize these microphones we've been spouting into.
Well, we're going to hose this place down with hot water, steaming water. So Coach, CG will be here at 3 o'clock with the, it's all going to be clean. Tony D coming up next. And have a great afternoon and be safe on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.
That's what Matt says.